we the only ones on, Glenn?
Somebody's trying to get on, but they've got a lot of noise. I think they just logged out and probably going to come back in.
Yeah, it sounded like a headset moving around or something.
Hi, this is Danny Brennan.
Hey, you're very noisy, so if you don't need to talk, can you mute?
Yeah.
Thanks. And where are you with? Who are you with, Brennan?
I was with Kaiser Permanente. Now I'm with IBM.
I know Danny from Sharp years ago, Glenn, and he has been the moderator of the IPP Working Group mailing list for some years now.
Hi, Ira.
Hi, Danny.
How are things going?
Going fine. Yeah, we have a whale of a lot of noise coming in on your link, Danny. Are you on
okay.
a cell phone?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go
Hello?
Now, so I'm not bothering.
Is it Danny or Dave?
Danny.
Danny,
Danny Brennan.
Okay. MF, I heard wrong. Okay.
And here's also Till.
Till?
Who is there?
Ira, Danny Brennan, who is formerly Kaiser Permanente for years and now IBM, and Glenn. And I haven't heard anyone else speak yet.
Yes. And anyone about which you have talked already?
No. No, we were just waiting for you, Till.
Yes, yes.
You're the boss, Till.
And do we have an agenda? Because you didn't send one, and I'm sorry, I'm rather busy with a few other things and didn't have any time to think about one.
Yes, yes. At least I sent out the reminder. One thing which I can tell about is that... the dialogue work is going on, and it seems that currently Peter has written up the specs, the new specs. He posted on IRC some seconds ago.
He's written new specs, or the latest spec, or whatever?
For the dialogue.
Latest.
For the printing dialog. When you go to wikiopenusability.org/printing.
Open. Okay.
And then you'll see, screenshots of how the dialog, was the last suggestion of Peter, which he has presented 1.5 weeks ago, as we had a meeting with Lars and Peter here in Berlin.
All right, let's see. Flash printing. Not printing, what is it called? IMT print. Alright, wrong URL, Till.
So I do the following. I post the URL, copy it. So slash printing is probably not found or so. It does probably not exist. So I post it now on the architecture mailing list.
Thank you.
Because it is completely impossible to transmit it through the phone.
Yeah, I'm no good at listening to long URLs, I'm afraid of the point.
Yes, yes.
Thanks, Till.
So, Till, there were, can you tell us what, I mean, without our going and looking right now, in your meeting with Lars and Peter the week before last, what kind of changes in the common printing dialogue were you talking about?
It's the following. Perhaps I tell it at first and try afterwards to get together these link settings.
That would be good, but just a, you know, highlights.
Yes,
it doesn't have to be exhaustive. Just kinds of things.
It is, one thing is here, the most important thing is he has a little bit changed the layout of the dialogue. You know, on the printing summit, he came to the idea to expand to the left for the option details when one clicks on the details button to get to the level 3.
Right.
And he now changes it to pull out to the right. And he also has another thing. At the top, we have already seen on the printing summit that in the very top we have the print queue selection. And directly under that we have the drop down for the quick settings, and under the drop down a short description of the chosen quick setting, and under that the preview, and under the preview we have the copies option, as it is frequently used, and it is not dependent on the printer. It is always there. And at the side of the copies option, we have the information how many sheets of paper will be used, which is calculated from the copies option, from the number of pages of the document, from NUP, and from duplex. And at the bottom, we have the usual buttons which you find at the bottom of any dialogue, print, cancel, and help. And what is also, and the button to get the details opened is at the upper right of the dialogue, at the side of the queue select.
Which makes sense because it now expands to the right, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And at the left side of the queue selection, there appears an icon of the printer manufacturer or the printer model if such an icon is encoded in the PPD. Glenn, if you see my links which I've posted, you will see a common printer brand given in the example. And
you just had, the mail hasn't come through yet. It'll take a minute. It's got to clear.
Yeah.
Got to clear first. The print icon, printer icon is displayed.
On the left side of the queue selection, right?
Yeah, but if in PPD.
Yeah.
Right, if in PPD. Thank you, Glenn. That's trying to get some of this.
Location is so important, but it has to be the PPD.
And one thing is, what I will do also soon is do one little extension of the PPD extension specs. As we have now a description text for the quick settings, I will also add a PPD extension so that one can enter a quick setting. And otherwise, if this would not be there, if, for example, we have a legacy PPD, the description text would be automatically generated from the options which are controlled by the quick setting.
Good. Here it came. So you're going to add an extension to the PPD extensions that will what?
Will provide a space for the description of the quick setting. So that to each quick setting which one defines in the PPD, one can add a description.
Right, that seems very important.
And now, going to the... And when you... click on the details button, you can simulate it in your browser if you replace the 2 by a 3 in the URL field, and then you get to the page with a level 3. Then it expands to the right, and you see the area for the details, which is the same as all the time. The top part has the list of the available tags, and you can turn on and turn off the tags, and then in the bottom part, the options corresponding to the tags are shown and not shown. And one thing which Peter also suggested, which should be done to make it more visible to the user what happens, is to let the options which appear, which newly appear or disappear, getting highlighted or blinking for a short time when you are after clicking the button for turning on or turning off the tag, so that the user really sees what changes.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now too.
Yes.
Thank you.
Obviously, what I have explained is also described in the text under the picture.
Yeah, I'll try to look at the text a little bit. I'm not going to be able to do minutes today and probably not tomorrow, but I'll try to get them out by Thursday and we'll see.
Yes.
Well, you're getting a recording too.
Yes, and the recording will probably already be available some hours after the call.
Right, and I'll put the link to it in minutes.
Yes.
So, I'm sorry, what were you just saying about something new in level 3, Phil?
In level 3, it expands to the right, and for the layout of the part which expands to the right is the same as before. We have the list of tags at the top and the space for the options at the bottom. But what is the new thing is that if a button is clicked in the tags, then we let the corresponding options shortly blink. Either when we turn them on, we let them shortly blink or highlight when they appear. Or when it's turned up, we let them shortly blink or highlight before they disappear. So the user easily sees what changes.
So you also added a company logo, right?
Yes, this was already thought out earlier. I don't remember whether it was designed to be put at another place earlier, but it was already thought out earlier, and therefore I have also already done the PPD extension.
So that company logo goes in the PPD?
Yes.
Okay.
ASCII encoded.
Because you should only use official.
But it should be small. It should be more or less the size as you see. So it is not a very big picture.
And if it's not included
in the order of magnitude, the icon, the logo is preferentially like a desktop icon, either PNG or SVG.
So if the company logo is not there, what do you put there? Nothing?
I think yes. I think we simply put nothing there.
Okay. It's just that.
And if it is there, if the PPD contains one, we show it. And it naturally changes if you change to another queue.
Right.
Long as you don't have a contract with a company, with a printer manufacturer, so that you are equipped only with printers of that manufacturer.
Yeah, some companies are very picky about the logo.
But then you can still have a CUPS PDF queue, for example, and the PPD of this queue could, for example, have a logo from the CUPS PDF project.
I think graphically, the blue line on the bottom of the right.
Yes. one step I also wanted to say what is a new thing is the frames and lines which you see. They are blue here in the example, but how the colors look like, this depends on the theme under which the dialogue is opened. So it is the colors are picked from the desktop theme. And so we say we have a colored frame around the dialogue pieces which are printer dependent.
Right.
And you see that the preview is framed.
Right, but the frames don't match. It looks funny, Till.
Yes. One thing. Perhaps it's
another blue line.
Drawing.
Put another line below the copy so it lines up with the option box or something, but it looks funny to me for some reason.
Yes. One thing which Peter explained is that the frame only takes in the printer dependent stuff, and therefore it does not include the copies option.
No, I understand that, but it looks funny.
Yes. Perhaps one thing would be, but one would lose a little bit of real estate if one lets the frame on the details side end together with a frame of the.
If you just put another
preview and leave the bar between the options space and the preview out.
If you just put another
one frame, and in addition one makes also a bar at the left-hand side of the preview, so that the frame gets a closed frame.
Till, if you just add a frame line below the word copies that lines up with the right side frame, then it'll look nice.
I would say so too. But Peter's intention is to frame in only the parts which are printer dependent.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Therefore, he excludes the copies option from the frame.
Ah, so it's intentional.
Yes.
Okay.
This I wanted to say.
Okay. Okay.
That's probably a reasonable amount of time to spend on the changes in the dialogue. I'll add the links to the minutes that you sent to. Thank you, Bill. Do you have any report on any other parts of Google Summer of Code activities?
One moment, please. I'm only telling Peter on IRC that I'm talking about his specs. So, the students, they are writing on the parts of the dialogue which are not so much involved in the layout.
Right.
So Per has, as we had up to now, we did not have the specs, the exact specs for the layout, and therefore they had no direction what to do in that case. So they did other things, and especially Per did for the GTK dialogue the support for the custom options, and this works really nicely. There are only some little details missing, but most of the custom options works perfectly. Or one can already say, one can really use the custom options, but there are little points of improvement, which he's working on now.
Okay.
And this means we are well on the way to have the first dialogue, the first printing dialogue which supports the CUPS custom options, and so the first printing dialogue, for example, which allows to do things like locked print and user code and such things which you find on sophisticated printers.
Okay. And that
or also doing all the adjustments which you can do with Gutenprint in a more user-friendly way. And And this is also a point with which manufacturers could more think about supporting custom options in their PPDs.
So this was in the GTK Plus work by Per Hermansen?
Yes, yes.
But not in the QT work by Alexander?
Not in the QT. I have told Alex already he should do it too, and he's working on it. But in the last time he has done some restructuring, and so he did not advance a lot with the dialogue.
Okay.
Probably he did not do it in a very good way of coding last year, but I did not see his coding quality, but more dialogue which somehow worked and showed how it should work. Because when I'm testing, I'm looking more in what one sees when one runs it. And in the last week, we have naturally often met on the IRC and talked about the dialogues, and I've given the comments about the dialogues which I've seen and so. And I have also succeeded after some time to get coordinated with Alex Walk that he comes to the IRC and one can talk with him on the IRC, because he was online also all the time during the Google Summer of Code, but he did not set up his IRC correctly, so that he always looked like marked as not present. And the way how I got it going with Alex was that once Kevin Zeitz told that Alex is his roommate, and then I asked Kevin that he should ask Alex to come up in the IRC, and then he fixed his IRC.
Ah, good. Okay, I added that to the tail end of the note I was taking on.
Yes. So Kevin Zeitz and Alex are roommates. I don't know, but perhaps Kevin Zeitz came applying at Open Printing by getting a recommendation from Alex. Yes, and Kevin Zeitz, he was supposed to do the scripting. And currently he is also doing some scripting. Only in the first weeks, I gave him the work to do the script for generating the driver packages, the downloadable driver packages from a binary tarball. And I explained in really long emails how it should work and what he should do. But he did not figure out how to do it. So that finally, after something like 3 weeks, I have told him go on with the next script, and I will do the packaging script by myself. But the other script seems for putting the packages onto the server and removing the old packages and auto-indexing and auto-signing them. This looks like that he's able to do that.
Okay, hang on a sec. Let me catch up with you, Joe. Do you happen to know if Lars has done any more work on GTK Plus patching for apps?
No. In the last weeks, not. And
okay.
In the last weeks, he also was in Berlin for some days, once to visit the Linux Tag, and second for our meeting.
Okay. state of driver upload, database driver upload, Subhankar Set.
Subhankar Set, he has completed the design of the database and should now be working on implementing it into the web application. And I have also had some meetings with him by IRC and solved with him some problems, and so he should be on the way to put the database stuff into the web application.
Okay, so he's got the design complete, and he's now
implementing. Yes.
Okay. Do you know anything about the state of the printer config backend in Orianos? I just said that wrong, I know. Student Joe Simon, the OpenICC color stuff?
No. Perhaps I should ask them.
Would you mind sending someone at OpenICC a note asking?
Yes, I will do so.
Okay.
And we have also this week up to the 13th, the midterm surveys are available. So
right.
The mentors and the students have to fill them.
Right. And when is that?
Up to the 13th of July, which is the next Monday.
And those are the midterm evaluations?
Yes. All the four mentors and all the four students have to fill their survey. And all students which have filled in their midterm survey and whose mentors have asked the question in their midterm survey whether the student should continue or not, have answered that the student should continue, all these students get paid the $2,000 for the midterm.
Okay, good. I'm not going to put that in the notes, but that's good. Okay, so the midterm surveys are due by Monday the 13th, and both mentors complete the survey.
Yeah, I think they're called evaluations, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm right. Okay.
Even though my student dropped out, I'm still getting the email, so.
Well,
what?
Yeah.
Glenn, you probably still get emails because of being a mentor.
Right.
But you don't need to fill in a midterm survey for your student because he already dropped out.
Right.
You can only on a voluntary base fill in the general survey, but you don't need.
No, I'm not gonna.
When there is a general survey for mentors, I don't know whether it was only for the administrator.
Yeah, and since you're not sick, and I don't have to be...
Because in the last year there were three kinds of surveys: one for mentors and one for students, and these were required. And there was a third one, which was not required. It was also for a certain group of people, but I don't remember whether it was mentors or administrators. Because they only wanted to have more opinions, more information, but it was not really relevant for getting the students into the second half.
I hope Google continues doing this. It sounds really good.
Yes, yes. I hope so too, and I hope we will get in next year again.
Yeah, I'm really glad about it.
We get a lot of work done.
Well, and you get more minds thinking about the problems too, and that is useful in its own right.
Okay, next.
Till last month, when Lars was reporting, he said that he had the Common Printing, the CPD preview, working as a preview, not in the entire dialogue. You know, has he also probably not done any updates to that in the last month?
On the preview, there are no updates. Lars told that he will look into making the application sending the preview, because up to now you only see a preview in the dialogues. If you don't start it from a GTK patched real application, but only from these code stubs, which are for only starting and testing the dialogue.
Right. Okay.
So the dialogue is able to accept a preview, but the GTK patches do not send one.
Okay.
And another thing is, which I've forgotten, Peter has also suggested a design for a widget to select which pages should get printed. When you look at the level 3 dialogue, which when you follow my web link and look on the level 3 dialogue, on the right-hand side in the options area, the page selection widget is shown.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that it contains of a starting and an ending page and a plus button. And with a plus button, you can add another page range. You get then the same widget again.
Okay.
And I think, and he told something one should do it, that one can open up to something like 10 of these widgets, and this way make page range selections.
I see. Okay.
Okay. I got a note of that.
It says on that dialogue for Word 5.7.
There will appear the name of the application.
Where's the name of the document?
The name of the document, I think, is not at all in the dialogue.
You should provide that as feedback. I mean, often you want to know.
Yes, this is a good idea.
Yeah, because it's the last moment to realize you're printing the wrong thing.
Right.
Yes.
Version
thing
2
is one sees it already.
We all do pretty often, I know. So.
Yes, just make a suggestion, Till.
Very, very fortunately, only my wife has a physical hard copy printer, so my mistakes are all just a PDF that I generated or something that I can throw away.
Yeah, I've actually gone to PDFs a lot now. It's much easier for me. Who joined?
Hi. Someone entered?
Hi, this is just Danny. I switched phones.
Oh, okay. Hi,
Dan. Thanks, bye. Danny.
It sounds better.
Yeah.
Did someone else just... I guess someone just left.
I'm still here.
Phil, are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right. Maybe someone dropped in. What?
Danny, are you still there?
Well, he must be
I'm sitting here.
Okay.
And I hear Glenn. Ira, are you there?
Yes, still here.
I think Danny dropped out.
Something must have gone wrong with Danny's other phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is no
okay.
Display of document name. No display.
Yes. One suggestion could, for example, be to write in the headline of the dialogue.
Yeah, no,
like printandprinting.org website or something like that.
Yeah, I just isn't. Maybe it was obvious. Maybe he has intended to put it there. I just don't see it. So. But you'll suggest it to Peters.
Yes, because the dialogue headline, this very upper part, which is generated by the window manager.
Yeah,
right.
It's missing. So, yeah probably that's where
he did not write any text into it. There he did not suggest which text could appear there. Yes, in the GTK version of which Pear has written, contains only CPD minus glib in this very upper line. It does not contain any information about
document.
The document.
Yeah, people will want to know what document, so.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I will suggest to Peter that one could write the document title there.
I mean, if that's the document title.
And perhaps after that, in parentheses or after a dash, the name of the application. Similar as you see in Firefox.
Yeah, I mean,
you see the title of the page, and after that, Mozilla Firefox.
And some people also include the path.
Yeah, well, the trouble is that quick with long file names quickly becomes undisplayable in the font size of the title bar.
Yeah, but then they use dot, 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 but at least it gives you some idea that you're in the right, you might be in the right directory or something.
Yeah, right. Having a fragment of the path and the document name, and certainly the document name, and only if very long, having ellipsis, dot, dot, dot in the middle of it.
Right. I just a suggestion, because it really is helpful sometimes.
Yeah, I put in the notes that it's very important to the user that you, Glenn, mentioned that it's not displayed in the dialogue, and Till and Glenn agreed should be in the dialogue headline.
Okay, great. Thanks. All right, next.
Well, I don't know. Do we have a next?
Yes, more or less we have now reported everything from the Google Summer of Code, which is the state now, or which is the state of the Google Summer of Code now. Is there any news from you? Or not?
No, not really.
I don't
really
think there's anything in PWG that's going on that's really important right now. Neither from the P2600. I think as Till and Ira are aware, I'm trying to look at the Linux from end-to-end printing, so I am doing a little bit of work on that, but mostly my own work right now until I decide to publish it.
In PWG, I'm mostly focusing on new printer management model and printer management MIB, standard MIB, and have some Samsung funding for that task, as well as for other public standard work. I don't think that there are other things in PWG standards or P2600 right now that
it would interest this group.
Interest us. The IPP version 2 The new conformance levels, which CUPS already supports, both 2.0 and 2.1, will enter formal approval vote today or tomorrow. Harry Lewis has been on vacation, so he hasn't been able to announce it.
So will we be able to put that kind of an identifier into the PPD?
It's in IPP. Over the wire, you can query it. It would be kind of a clever thing if you could...
If I knew the printer supported that already, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
It would be really good, because then you would query it in 2.x mode, and you would get all this functionality that you don't get if you query it in 1.1 mode.
Yeah, so we should add that as an extension to the extensions.
Yeah. Remind me of this with a note or something, but yes. In next month, when it has been approved, hopefully, I'll bring that up. And the other one also going into formal vote, till Glenn already knows this, is IPP printer state extensions, which is the extensions to an IPP printer to show the entire alert table in the printer map. All of the alerts, including the warnings, with all of the content. As well as finishing alerts in particular, which have never been visible.
So Iris...
I thought...
Iris, I think we should put in the notes that we should consider putting an extension in the PPDs for the IPP specification.
I'm going to put a top-level note here that's, PWG News, Glenn and Ira or whatever. And I'll put something in about that. Yeah, okay, so we should...
Identify the IPP version.
PPD extension to identify IPP version support, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a simple line. It would really help, by CUPS and everything else. So.
Well, yeah, it would, because you could look at it and you could say, it could be declared by the printer manufacturer, by the person who wrote the PPD with the driver. If it was third party, that this printer and or this driver support IPP 2.1, and you therefore can do the document object, you can do elegant multiple document jobs, you can.
This is George from RUCO. Hello.
Yeah,
hi, George.
Yes.
The information is when the PPD file is created, so it's not like it's something that happens afterwards.
No.
No,
the support for a given level of IPP or any other protocol doesn't usually change with firmware.
I have one issue here. You said putting the IPP level in the PPD file, but in PPD file, we don't have such information like what protocol the printer supports.
We're asking for an extension.
Yeah, we're talking about an extension, George.
We have a lot of extensions in PPD.
I know.
What is part of one of the CUPS extensions?
But if you want to put in the IPP level, I would prefer to put also what protocols printer support and what is a preferred protocol.
Yep. Let me get there in my notes, and I'll write that. I agree. If that would be a really good thing to say, raw TCP, LPR, IPP, whatever, WFPrint, whatever the protocols are, to list them in the PPD, that seems kind of a pretty important thing.
Yeah, because then I see the CUPS printer discovery source code. What the source code is trying to do is trying IPP protocol and trying 9100 protocol. Some printer have 9101 port number, some have 9102 port number.
Right,
and they're trying to detect, they try socket protocol first with different port, and then they try IOPD protocol and with different port, and they try IPP protocol with different port and with these different levels. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, if they have access to an SNMP backend, of course, the port monitor MIB lists the supported ports and protocols.
Yeah, but if it can be also be put into PPD file.
Yeah, I agree. It should be. I'm
like the port number, the protocol, what's the preferred protocol?
Not so much preferred, but what it supports.
The port monitor MIB identifies all of the supported protocols that should be used by policy. That's usually a subset of the whole channel table. And which one is the default? That is, which one is it the preferred? It's actually called preferred, which is by administrator or manufacturer the preferred one.
And identify which one is default, meaning preferred. Okay.
But from the protocol URL, can you tell whether it's an IPv 1.1 protocol or 1.2.0 protocol? Can you really tell from the URL? Like,
no, IETF you can't /? Because I couldn't convince the IETF when I wrote the updated IPv URL spec that we should add a parameter that would explain the version level. So there's no format to the URL.
Is there a common
it's just IPP colon, that means it's 1.1 or higher, because 1.0 didn't use IPP colon URL.
I think that HTTP doesn't have a parameter tell that it's HTTP 1.0, HTTP 1.1, right? But is there any queries you can send to the...
Yes, you can send an IPP printer a query and query the attribute IPP version supported, and it... in any version of IPP, and it'll return you the whole list.
Yeah, since that will work, yeah.
Well, it's not that much difficulty, and it might cause might be helpful, so.
PWG right now. Well, also that the resource service was just approved, which is a general purpose. You may be aware of this, Till or George, or you may not. The multifunction working group in PWG has developed a web services based abstract service, but with an actual web service binding, a WSI binding, for a resource service that is not inside a given job service like scan service or print service or whatever, but is actually a top-level system service that can be offered on any imaging system or imaging server, and it can it can upload and download resources like fonts, forms, and logos, but it also can upload and download executable resources, including firmware, with a description and a version. So it potentially is a building block to an open standard approach to updating printer firmware, not instead of vendor proprietary methods, but in addition to the vendor proprietary methods. I'll put something in the notes about that as well, but those are the most recent activities in PWG. I don't think I have anything else, and I have just an awful lot to do to prepare for a later telecon today with Samsung, so if we could end pretty shortly, I would be happy.
Yes, I think we have now completed.
Okay, we're going to meet again. Tuesday, August 4th?
Oh, Tuesday.
Yes.
August 4th.
Okay.
Yes.
I will put that in the minutes. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Talk to you again soon.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.